Not really. No, it's you go out there and you play. They didn't deserve anything. I had to say that would be derogatory, and I had no need to. They didn't even deserve for me to spin the ball on them. I just called it and put it down and go about my business, dust myself off. It was all business, and that's what it's always going to be. That film was a coaching session. They're gonna be coaching. I'm 35 years old, and I ran around on boys like they was schoolyard kids.
You are listening to Offensive Lines with Marlon and Boyd, small stakes NFL gambling for the average fan.
Welcome to Offensive Lines. I'm Marlon.
I'm Boyd.
And that was Mr. Steve Smith, or as I'd call him, Sir.
Or isn't he senior now? Smith senior? He had a child in the off season, so he put the senior there so as not to confuse you.
Okay, it was a child, because I thought maybe he was just making a joke about his age.
No.
Which would have been pretty funny if that had been it, either.
He has Steve Smith Jr. now, so as we wouldn't get confused with his newborn, he added the senior to his name, because his son's playing in the NFL already.
Well, actually, an agent's probably signed him.
Well, yeah, he's probably beating up the other kids in the nursery.
Yeah. They looked at him wrong. And
yeah.
And it's on. On that topic, in Simmons' suspension period, Barnwell wrote the picks column.
Oh, I didn't read it.
Okay, he writes about when he was living in Vegas and playing poker, he ended up at a table with a guy who went to community college with both Ocho, played on the same team as Ocho Cinco and Smith.
So.
And the guy just described how Ocho Cinco was fun-loving, super nice guy. And he almost got into a fight with Steve Smith until finally he looked in his eyes and then just admitted he was wrong, even though he was right, because holy fuck.
Yeah, he's crazy. Well, even that, the statements that, oh, they didn't deserve, like the ball flip. And when has Steve Smith ever been the classy one? That's what I take away from that. It's hilarious that these guys think they're above the stuff that they've done all these years. And the one touchdown he caught was a fluke.
Absolute fluke. Well, two of the touchdowns were pretty fluky that Baltimore got in that game. I mean, on one of the other touchdowns, the ball came out low. Flacco got it on his knees, got up, ran around, coverage broke down, and he threw it. I mean, good athletic play, etc., but still pretty fluky. It's a situation that turns out well about 1 in 10 times.
Yeah, the announcers are usually, oh, that was an ugly broken play. And even that one to Daniels that he missed, fuck. Smith, that reminded me of the, now I'm drawing a blank. A receiver that used to be at the Colts, then he went to the Broncos for a year when Manning came back. Little white guy caught that touchdown for the Broncos on the tip pass against
Cincinnati. Oh, I know who you mean now, but I can't remember his name for the life of me. That cost me. That particular play actually cost me, so I should remember his name. He should be part of my voodoo idol of misfortune for players who have screwed me over.
It was the same kind of play.
Oh, exactly.
Tip, and he runs under it, touchdown.
Well, one thing,
not that I minded.
In the long version, fair enough. In the long version of that press conference, he actually describes how that happened. And he thought Flacco was scrambling. So he just did a straight run down the sidelines. And if he comes out, maybe Flacco will heave it towards him.
Yeah.
So he explains his thought process and how he just happened to be in the right place at the right time. So
it was
fairly interesting.
Yeah, well, they showed it. They showed it the overhead view of him running his route, And it was. He was just a clear out to take the guy to the sidelines. And he did. Flacco rolled out, and he just turned it upfield.
Yeah.
Because live, it looked like he was out of position. I honestly thought he was throwing the ball to Smith live when the play happened. Because it happened that the Titans game was in commercial, and I flipped to that game and see that play, and it looked like he was throwing to Smith, and Daniels got in the way. Because if Daniels doesn't tip it, it lands in Smith's arms too. It was a crazy play.
Yeah, and... But when you see two receivers that close,
yeah, somebody
you know,
screwed up.
Yeah, you know it's a fuck up, but it wasn't really a fuck up. He saw containment break in the pocket, and you know receivers have two things to do: one, you either come back; two, you go deep. That's what you do when your quarterback's scrambling around on a broken play. So that's what he was doing. He did a pretty concise and clear explanation of exactly how it happened, ending with well. Someone had to go get it, I guess.
and the announcers, funny enough, actually got it right, too.
No.
In the rare case of the announcers getting it right. But
oh wow. I think that's the really remarkable thing about the play, then.
What? I think I was talking to you during that game. What the fuck? Greg Gumbel said something retarded. And I mentioned it to you. I just got to start writing this shit down. I'm getting too old to remember it.
Yeah, we should write down particularly annoying announcer comments because
he said something just fucking ridiculous, and I pointed it out to you. And I'm useless. Fuck. Why don't I just do it? We should just do a generalities podcast. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah, I sound like my old man. You remember that guy on that team that made that play? Don't you remember that? Yeah. I'm living it now.
Vague, unsupported memories.
Fuck. I'm awful. I'm having a Titan season this year.
Okay. Oh, well, we should point out the sad fact we went 1 of 3 again. We were horrifically wrong on the Giants at Washington. We broke two of our rules in that game.
Well, in two of the three games or picks we made, we broke fucking rules.
Yeah, really unacceptable performance by us. I'm not pleased with us this week at all. It's two shitty teams, and it was on a Thursday.
And two shitty teams... In the other game with shitty quarterback. Well, not shitty quarterbacks. I think Carr's going to be good, but a rookie quarterback and someone who can do what he did in London, Ryan Tannehill. And then next week he could throw three picks and have a fumble. It's why we
bye week though.
Like
I'd
that.
Be really impressed. I know what you meant,
but yeah, he's inconsistent. It's everybody in the league this year. I don't know where the fuck the league... Well, the league's got what it wants. Everybody's fucking the same. But
yeah,
we'll get into that later. But
I also should pick up. We broke yet another rule, though we didn't even know it because we are stupid. We forgot that game was in London.
And we don't bet on... We bring it up every time a West Coast team plays on the East Coast or vice versa about the travel and all that. Well, Oakland went from Oakland to New England and then flew to England, the actual England, after that game.
With the coach wondering if he'd even get a plane ticket.
Well, I think that's the only thing that saved them last week was that they were competitive in New England.
Well, but we've learned what that meant. But yeah, we don't bet on London games. So it was a disaster last week. I'd like to apologize.
Yeah. We need to fall on our sword for not knowing that game was in fucking London. That's just unacceptable.
Oh, I know. I sent you an email the next morning just saying, oh, that game's in London. And you just sent back, ha ha, we are fucking idiots. And that sums it up.
Yeah. And betting on the Raiders. Money line.
The Raiders are not significantly worse than the Dolphins. See,
no, I know, but if we're breaking that fucking rules, we might as well have just taken Indianapolis over Tennessee. That was like almost a lock, that game. Not a luck, a lock. That was a fucking lock. I called it last. We both did.
Yeah. Yeah, we said it was the best game on the board. So, you know, some of our advice was right. I think we were rattled by starting the pod the previous night and then losing internet. And you'd started an argument for Oakland that made sense. And then we lost the trail of the thought. So we just kind of figured you'd made a really good case. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if they were playing in fucking Oakland, it was a great case.
Yeah.
Because I talked about Miami going cross country and blah, fucking blah. It was brutal. Oh, well, live and learn. Rules are made to be broken.
So we did get lucky, I would say, a bit on we took Philly in the points going to San Francisco. Three defensive or special team scores by the Eagles. A blocked punt recovered in the end zone, a punt return by Sproles for a touchdown, and a pick six. So based on Philadelphia's offensive performance, which we were counting on, we should have lost that one too. So fortune smiled on us a bit there.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, Philly looked, well, give credit to San Francisco's defense, too, but Philly has to figure out the run game. Because teams, if they have Macklin, they either have to get another wideout to go with Macklin or figure something out with the tight end, because if they cover Macklin, they have no passing game.
Yeah, and he forced a lot of balls at Riley Cooper and at Zach Ertz, too, who threw in another piss-poor performance for me in fantasy. But yeah, it seems like they know when they're going to run, and McCoy, who used to get 4 yards when there was negative one there, is getting that negative one now. I mean, what did he have, 17 yards? Something like
that? Oh, yeah, it was brutal. Brutal display. I turned on the guy. I was out running errands and shit for the late games, but I turned on the Fox feed when I got home when there were 6 minutes left. Yeah, the Eagles have 127 yards total offense today. I'm like, oh, fuck. And they were still in the game. San Francisco had just kicked the field goal to go up 26-21. I'm like, okay. So I pulled on the internet and saw how they'd scored and was just, I don't even, to a team that's put up 30 points a game, to not score an offensive touchdown is unbelievable.
Oh, and, I know San and they Francisco's didn't have good, anything but they're not, resembling a drive until 6 minutes left in the fourth.
But it always makes me, how do you figure it out then? Like, does the defense change?
Well, they shouldn't have, because they weren't even, like, a touchdown wins that game. The defense can't go into any sort of prevent or softer time delay sort of thing. There was plenty of time left. All Philadelphia needed was a touchdown to take the lead. Like, you can't say the defense would have changed schematically, I don't think, in that situation.
No, but how do you figure it? Why is it in every game when it's close like that? Look at Pittsburgh-Tampa. They scored with, what, 40 seconds left? And they only needed a field goal to tie. Well, one, Pittsburgh had a shitty punt. Not that I mind seeing Pittsburgh lose, but you shouldn't lose a game like that to Tampa, even though you called it with that great stat last week.
Yeah, but that was to cover. That was to cover the 8 points. I got the Tampa game. I'm pleased about that, but I was calling a cover, not a victory.
No, I know, but I don't understand how teams figure this shit out late in games and what happens when it seems the defenses almost lose their heads when this happens. They get running around more than the offense.
And I mean, it could be because it's a game. Well, exactly. I was going to say that my other theory is they're starting to run closer to a hurry up. And one thing I really like about the hurry up in the league right now is, you know, in the late 80s, the amount of substitutions that were occurring on every play, you know, I think it hurts the game ultimately. It takes away from potential stars, etc. But, you know, when you run that hurry up like Buffalo did in the late 80s, teams that were built on a situational package for every down and distance didn't know how to deal with them.
Yeah, but Philly runs it game in, game out. They're trying to run it, play it every 10 seconds.
Yeah, but they sure haven't been, have they?
Well, the league slowed them down.
How's that?
If the officials got the ball down quicker, the officials basically control speed of game. So, yeah. And if I'm a defensive player, I fucking lay on a guy a little longer. There's a million things you can do. And you see guys will drop down to the ground. Oh, I'm hurt. Okay, that gives you another minute. You watch when teams play the Eagles. They try all kinds of shit to slow them down.
Well,
because they know what they're doing.
I'm going to look this up tomorrow. I think that Philly, in number of offensive plays run, is like fourth or fifth in the league. Being that they're the team that's insisting upon this pace, they don't seem to be delivering it. Now, I'll have to look at stats and see how many possessions, because certainly in that Niners game, the Eagles had, they must have had a dozen three and outs.
Well, and that's where you'll, in this hurry up, if you're off, if the timing's off at all, are you getting a bad run? It can go south in a hurry. They're not okay, we're going to, and if McCoy's not, the problem with the Eagles is the running game. It's non-existent. Like, he got the shit kicked out of him.
They are sending out homeless people on the offensive line at this stage.
Well, yeah, they have
not
a lot of injuries.
Not an excuse, but an explanation.
Yeah, no, but it's, they had a couple guys hurt in the Redskins game, and Foles got the shit kicked out of him in that game. He's still hurting. He's got a rib issue or something, because he was writhing on the ground in that Niner game, too, I saw.
Well, that was a physical game.
Well, every game against the Niners is. I give Philly credit just for hanging in.
Yeah, I will say that, too. I mean, the Niners may have a lot of injuries and suspensions of their own, but that is still a nasty physical team. And if you don't remember that when you play them, they could be, you know, 4-9 at a point, and they are still going to come out with the intention of beating you up.
Yeah. But 1-2, it's not as bad as in years past where we do that and have one parlay.
Yeah, but that was
money-wise,
that was
better shape than we were last year.
I still think that was our worst week intellectually. And the way we chose our picks. I mean, in our picks challenge, by the way, I went 9-4. Just so happens that two of the four games I got wrong were the ones we bet on. Like, it shouldn't work that way, you know?
No, we'd have been better off. We like Dallas. We both had Dallas beating New Orleans.
We
New Orleans
Baltimore.
Isn't very, yeah. New Orleans isn't very good.
No, that Sorry, one would folks. Be a little riskier, but yeah, we did like Dallas quite a bit.
And Baltimore. The other games we weren't on, really. The stats you gave about the 52-8 against the spread for a team that lost by three touchdowns the game before still didn't hold true in one out of the two.
No, not with...
Because Jacksonville got smoked by your Chargers. That's a good segue into your Chargers.
And my Chargers are not a bad team.
3-1. Okay, 2-1 playing, well, the second worst team in the league, because I think Tennessee might be the worst right now. I get a frantic text. Fucking Chargers are going to lose. I told you the fucking Chargers make rookie quarterbacks look like all-stars. I'm like, oh, what the fuck's the score? It was 14-10.
Yeah, and you're in a panic. I tend to go into a panic.
Fuck. 14-10 against Jacksonville. Yeah, and he's panicking.
It was damn near insurmountable. Yeah.
It was fucking 20-0 Indy over the Titans, and I had reason to fucking be angry when I was talking to you on the phone. I think it was early in the second quarter.
At the point you got that text. Yeah, one was broken coverage, so I shouldn't really count that. But Bortles was moving the ball. Bortles showed a lot of pretty good things. I mean, he looked like a talented rookie quarterback. Still a rookie, hence the two picks. Still some communication issues.
Yeah, but they're not very good around him either.
No. No, he looks like a really talented rookie quarterback.
And if the Eagles have no running game, Jacksonville's is pretty much non-existent as well. So they're a long ways away. So is Tennessee. So is...
Yeah, I don't know what Jacksonville has, honestly. They've got Bortles.
Did Shorts play?
Yeah.
Receiver? He's not bad. They drafted a couple other receivers this year that might be okay, but I thought that Tennessee too.
Blackman is superbly talented, and
he won't be back though.
Well, we'll have to see the new drug policy. There might be some sort of.
Yeah, he might come back, or I don't think Jacksonville is going to keep him around. What's the point? He's been suspended 3 times in 3 years.
It's really tough to build a year-long plan around a guy that could disappear, though. We don't know any of the details. I mean, I'd like to see his team, if it's kind of like the Josh Gordon, that this was so marginal that no one in America outside the clergy is upset about them smoking that much dope, which is like a small amount, you know.
Yeah, but it's not just once. If it was once,
it shows
these guys,
really poor
decision
making.
Like, do I think Josh Gordon wasn't smoking weed? No.
he just thought he could get away with it. The Olympic tolerance. You know, there's an argument.
Okay, if you know that, there's the other side of the argument. If you know that and you've been caught once or twice before,
shouldn't logically your brain
go, okay, I'm not going to smoke that anymore during the season?
It's tough to think that way when you're high.
Well, yeah. So I feel for these guys somewhat, but unless they want to collectively bargain that into their agreement, then you live with the penalties. They bargained this fucking thing.
Yeah.
So if... You can't cry fucking foul when you know the rules and you've been caught before and then go, oh, well, one sample was this and the other sample was that. Well, there shouldn't be anything. They shouldn't even have to test the other sample because you should be fucking pissing clean.
And my argument is, though, that the penalties are absurdly draconian versus
wasn't the first time.
Oh, I know, but Boyd, like, their motivation is wrong. This is a Reagan-era drug policy.
I'm
not saying that until it's collectively bargained, you are 100% correct. It's clear as shit.
How many private companies or publicly traded companies have fucking drug testing nowadays? And you get caught once, you're terminated, not... fucking third time we give you a year.
But it depends what you're doing, Boyd. Adam Ray asked Adam Carolla on the podcast from last week. So in all your time in radio, or it may not have been Adam Ray, but someone asked him, in all your time in radio, do you know anyone who has ever been drug tested for on-air talent? No. Because it's assumed.
Oh, yeah.
You
so
know, if you deliver at your rule, actual job...
That's the rule that it go, but it doesn't matter how you perform. Do you know the rules going into your job? Like if you have a dress code at your job and you don't show up in dress code, should you not be fired? That's draconian too. But you know what, when they hired you, what the expectations are.
Yeah, no, that's totally valid. But I'm just saying the rules are antiquated.
That's all I'm arguing. I could care less if anybody smoked pot, snorted coke, just entertain me on Sunday. But if you know the parameters of the job you've been hired to do and you go outside those parameters, you can't cry foul.
That's absolutely even if correct. I'm just saying the foul is actually incorrect and I believe wrong. And that has to be addressed.
Yes, but his union negotiated that. His representatives negotiated that rule. So,
yeah, no, you're correct. You have to live with it, but the rule's foolish. How's that?
Then, I don't disagree with that, but they can't cry about it when they negotiated it. That's where I have a problem. Like these guys saying, well, Gordon should be reinstated. Well, then don't do it.
Well, and they did shorten the suspension, and with the new drug policy that moved, you know, Welker's back playing.
Yeah.
So obviously there is sort of a way to go backwards in time on this a little, and I think they should examine some of these cases.
But that was collectively bargained. This, how they got that suspension reduced and changed the drug policy was collectively bargained.
Well, yeah, and now that they've changed the drug policy, they should look at others other than... They should look at Ed Gordon, which they did, and they changed it to 8. But I haven't heard a word about Blackman.
Well, no, he's a lost cause, dude. In this climate now,
he was really good, man.
Who's bringing him back in this climate? With the way the PR is, the Colts cut Derek Rogers for a DUI.
Yeah,
got picked up for a DUI. Cut. As soon as it hit the press, cut.
Okay. Who's picking up Blackman under these?
No, they didn't cut Landry because that's a PED. That's expected. But they can't. They can't cut a suspended guy. Well, I'm pretty sure.
Well, let's see if they cut them. And so did you? Did the Colts cut their owner?
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, you can't cut the owner.
Yeah, which you're right is not collectively bargained. But so in this climate, shouldn't he be ridden out because he was driving under the influence?
I don't disagree.
Bag of prescription drugs.
I don't disagree, but what are you going to do? The guys with the money make the rules, and the guys that want the money adhere to those rules. That's how capitalism works. So unless they can start living without needing that next paycheck, it's never going to change. And how are you getting 2,000 guys to not live paycheck to paycheck? It's not a fluke when 80% of the players are broke 5 years out of the league.
No, it's not a fluke. It's
that's why they have no bargaining power. But they don't.
Oh, it absolutely
realize
is.
It.
We talked about this in the lockout year, or the lockout year rather. And so, you're 100% correct. But
like I support the players in every negotiation with management. I always have, I always will. But when they negotiate a deal this stupid and give the power to one guy, then you deserve what you get.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Well, did you hear they're actually bringing in, and we'll see how neutral he is, but they're bringing in a neutral arbitrator in the Ray Rice case. And in other sort of surprising news, and this is something I brought up years ago, the judge from the collusion in the lockout year case recused himself. So they're going to get not a hand-picked NFL judge in that case now, which it's foolish because, as you said, the union stupidly gave up their rights to make this case.
Yeah, for an extra couple of million on the salary cap.
Yep. To protect their membership jobs. Oh, yeah, it's always been the same. But it was still an interesting development that, you know, you'd expect him to support his own decision, and he just said, you know what, I guess I can't, and walked away. But so tell me about Tennessee a bit.
What's there to tell? It was 20-0 late in the first half. They got a field goal, a pick, and scored a touchdown to make it 20-10 just to suck me in to start the third quarter. Then it was 34-10, 34-17, and they sucked me in to start the fourth quarter thinking, okay, three scores. You can get three scores in a quarter if you get some breaks. So I watched the first drive of Indies in the fourth quarter, touchdown, TV off. and I carry on with my Sunday. And I was mad in the first half, even though I was pretty sure going into the week that they were going to lose. But they shot themselves in the foot. It, like they've done every week, fumble trying to scrape for an extra yard, led to a touchdown, then onside kick that they're not even, guys are running, turning their head before the ball's even kicked.
Yep, which obviously they'd done a bunch of times on film.
Yep. So they get the onside kick, touchdown, it's 14-0, and I'm like, oh, fuck. It was brutal. After that, it was, I knew they, you still hold out hope, but in your head, you know, it's fucking, it was over in the first quarter. And it's, and Wiz and Hunt in his press conference is saying, oh, maybe I overestimated our team. You think? But it's just, fuck, I might be out fucking week six. I could just be watching highlights from there. I might have spent $160 on Sunday ticket for fuck all. Because it's fucking awful to watch. I don't know if it's the switch to the 3-4 and we don't have the guys that can play it. But we look fucking lost. What I said, if you go back and listen to after the week one recap and what I talked about our defense and it looks like that was just a fucking mirage. I don't even know how they held Kansas City to what they did. It's not even close to the same team. What I thought we had as a strength, our wide receivers are a fucking liability. Justin Hunter had one catch, two targets. Our leading receivers are tight end again. It's like Jeff Fisher came back to life in Tennessee. We had Clipboard Jesus at quarterback who fucking looks like he's more concerned about how he looks on the sideline. He looks like he grooms more than the fucking cheerleaders before a game. Fucking beard's perfect. Fucking ponytail doesn't move. Fucking he's got a little knot. Ugh. I thought I was watching fucking lingerie football for fuck's sakes. And can we get a quarterback that doesn't throw everything fucking high? Locker does it. Fucking Whitehurst had three guys open in the end zone. One was high to fucking Justin Hunter, who I don't blame him for thinking he's going to get killed. He was right in the fucking middle of the goal, like in the middle of the field. Nate Washington doesn't turn his head around. The ball hits him in the fucking hip.
Now, he's usually reliable, so that's the most surprising thing you've said. But
it was just, it's a comedy of fucking errors. Our best running back, they give the ball to seven times a game. Sankey's the best running back we have, and he's not playing. What are you saving him for? You're 1-3.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Like, he got 36 yards, another 27 or so on receptions in the second half. Was that just because he was playing soft zone? He wasn't seeing any hard fronts at all? Or did he run well?
No, he's run well the last two games. He's been our best running back. But they still start Sean Green and throw in McCluster, who looks like Chris Johnson in a different fucking jersey.
McCluster shouldn't be running the ball. He should be Woodhead when Woodhead was healthy with the Chargers. That's what he should be.
It's just fucking pathetic.
I thought they picked him up, honestly, when Wiz and Hunt went over and you guys went out and got McCluster. I thought, oh, there's they got to fill the Woodhead role.
Yeah.
So that's just too logical? Instead, we're going to run him between the tackles?
Well, we haven't had any rhythm in three games. We have a couple of drives that gets you to thinking, okay, maybe something's going to happen, and then it just goes back to pure shit. And the defense, there's not that Ray Wilson they have playing the opposite corner to McCourty. I'd have no idea why he's still starting. He's got a concussion, but they pick on him the whole fucking game. Dallas. Oh, fucking Indy. Picked on him, and they just keep burning him. Fucking Reggie Wayne, who shouldn't be able to still run like he runs, made him look fucking ridiculous the whole fucking game. I'm at a loss. My fucking team, we're 5 years set back again with we've had three coaches now in the last five fucking years or four. Fisher, fucking Munchak, Wisenhunt. Nothing's changed. They drafted Locker, could have had Dalton or Kaepernick, would have given us at least a shot. We have nothing at quarterback right now. Haven't heard of one coming out of college that's supposed to be any fucking good this year. And our offensive line, which was supposed to be a strength again, is a fucking abomination. Can't pass protect, and I don't know, our receivers aren't getting old. We're playing fucking Indy. Not a vaunted defense.
No, by no means.
Give up three sacks, fuck, couple of picks, fumble, ugh. And then every pass was high. Guys are having to jump, it's going through their hands.
Well, that's the worst thing. I'd rather have a quarterback who skips it off the ground than a high ball. High balls get picked, and they get your receivers killed.
But nobody's making a play either. Like, you see the catch Macklin made last night against San Francisco.
Oh, fuck, that was gorgeous. And
on that drive that almost won him the game.
And by the way,
nobody in Tennessee's making a catch. Nobody in Tennessee's making a play.
Harbaugh challenged that catch, which was clearly a catch. Then the Eagles get an absolutely bogus spot to give them a first down at about the 9. And he was out at the 11. Harbaugh blew the challenge on that. So, sorry, I just thought that could come to haunt you. He got away with it, but that was one of the worst challenges I've seen all year and had the potential to change the outcome of the game.
And, yeah, well, I don't know what the answer is in Tennessee. They were talking about, I thought Ray Horton would have that defense humming, and it looked like it in week one. And now he's saying, oh, we got a bunch of new players, a new system. Oh, fuck off. San Diego had that last year and fucking made the playoffs. Don't give me that fucking excuse. Either say it's the talent, say it's the coaching, say it's a combination of the two. Don't give me that pat answer that, oh, it's new system, new players. Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, this takes time.
If you're trying,
and why didn't
you keep
Ultra and Werner if your players down? Well, you were just bitching about the second corner. Maybe he should have been a money priority over Dexter McCluster, who is being wildly misused.
He wanted more money than he was worth. He wanted $7 million out of Tennessee and ended up signing for $5 million. So we know what his market value is.
That's true.
If somebody else was ponying up more money, I don't blame them for not re-signing. You can't
overpay. But you can overpay in certain situations. But I guess you weren't that close, so fair enough.
He's not that good. So, and obviously other teams agreed when Tampa was the only one that ponied up anything close to what he wanted. Like, when you hit the open market and don't get paid what you were asking, like, Tennessee was offering about the same, maybe a little more than what he got from Tampa, but he'd already burnt that fucking bridge.
So he wasn't. Do you think he burnt it, or did your front
office
burn it?
Yeah, it was pride, okay. pride.
I just wanted your opinion because I didn't follow.
No, but if you, Marlon, go asking for $7 million from the team you're currently on and accept a couple of million less from a new team when they were offering you basically the same money, you're not going to turn back and go, see, I told you I'm worth $7 million when they're giving you the same as you were offered. Now, he wanted out. He wanted out, or he was too prideful to go back. And not he wouldn't make this team any different, but the question I have for a coach that says new players, new system. Well, if you don't have the players to play that system, why do you change it? You can't just walk in and take guys that are 4-3 guys and turn them into 3-4 guys. You need the linebackers to play a 3-4. It's
a round. Coaches adjust their systems to their personnel, or you take the long view, which isn't going to work, and you remake your roster from scratch to fit your system. And I don't like those coaches. I don't like system coaches. You take what you have and you get the most out of them. That's a great coach. You are 100% right. Just
coach. You have to coach what you have. So if you don't have what it takes to run the system you're used to coaching, change it. You don't have, it's, this isn't like fucking fantasy football where you just drop and add fucking guys. You have to go with what you've got once the season starts. So if that's not a 3-4 defense, then should you maybe look at playing a 4-3, what they were used to last year and what that team was built on?
And are you so limited as a coach that you cannot? It's easier for a coach to go from a 34 to a 43 than it is for players who have a set list of techniques that they are good at.
Well, they've made...
No player has everything except perhaps J.J. Watt.
They took a defensive lineman that was used to rushing with his hand on the ground, and he's now a linebacker.
And not only that, he was a great defensive lineman. Potentially great. He was certainly outstanding in what he'd shown thus far.
Who are you talking about?
Casey.
No, I'm not talking. It's Derek Martin.
Oh, okay.
That they moved from a hand in the ground D lineman now. He's covering now. He's a linebacker. So if it's not working, there's no answer. We're going to be drafting in the top five again, which is fucking outstanding.
Where were your picks last year?
No, middle of the pack, because we finished 7 and 9.
But you still could have grabbed Bridgewater. I mean, he was last pick in the first round. Were you ready to cut bait on Locker?
Apparently not.
Well, I'm asking you personally. In our, like any sports fans, we imagine ourselves as
filling all positions
on the team.
What he'd done before he got hurt last year looked promising.
Okay.
And you weren't going to take Bridgewater at like, where did they draft? 12th, 13th, wherever they drafted last year? No, yeah, it was 12 or 13. They got an offensive lineman, which I don't mind.
No, I almost never mind a pick on an O lineman. Though they're not as safe as people think. A lot of busts.
But they're safer.
At that position.
Yeah. They're safer than a running quarterback when you've already been burnt by Vince Young. And I'm still not sold on Bridgewater after the game he had yesterday. Well, I know he's got talent, but it's just history has shown that running quarterbacks don't last. If you look, E.J. Manuel was a first-round pick. They've benched him in Buffalo now. Geno Smith's getting booed at home. RG3's hurt.
Well, being booed by Jets fans...
but he stinks.
You know... Oh, I know. But they'd boo Joe Namath, you know.
But he stinks.
And he probably deserved to be booed, frankly, if you really look at his career. But, he stinks. Manuel, you know, I watched that Chargers game, and what I said to you last week? I'm going, he's not good. I mean, it's soft, lazy balls, and I never saw him get past his second read, and that was a miracle.
But then you play him because you drafted him in the first round? He was the first quarterback taken 2 years ago. And he's on the bench. So would I have wanted Bridgewater? No. No.
Okay.
What I wanted was Kaepernick.
Sorry, that was just the question, really. It was a big hypothetical.
Everybody says he's supposed to be great. But... the one, they'll always point to Russell Wilson, well, 1 out of 100. And I will still say they won that Super Bowl on their defense. Same as Roethlisberger's. And until Seattle starts winning consistently on the road, he's not great. I'm sorry, he's good, he's not great.
He's a very good player on a really, arguably great team.
But they stink on the road. If Arizona can beat them in Seattle and Seattle doesn't get that home game in the playoffs, they're fucked.
Arizona does beat them in Seattle.
Well, they have. They haven't this year. They have to do it this year to win the division.
Yeah. Well, and I think Arizona...
Unless somebody can win the division.
I really like Arizona, by the way, too, but Well, and let's get to this final conversation. Let's do our last 15 minutes. Who do you think is good in this league?
Nobody. There's good teams, but there's not one that stands out to me as one that you would think, like last year we had Seattle. And everybody, they're
good.
And
to a certain argument, Denver.
Yes, but there's nobody. Denver struggled this year.
Yeah, there's nobody close to either of those teams this year. I agree with you. I mean, I think San Diego's a pretty good team, but those injuries are starting to pile up. We were on our third string center, and that was not pretty. You can find a highlights or a lowlights package of all the things he did wrong, and it's honestly hilarious.
But this is what the NFL has been building towards for years. They want everybody 2-2. What keeps fans in the stands and people watching TV? The more teams that have a shot at the playoffs later in the year, the better it is for the NFL. They don't want three or four teams head and shoulders above everybody else. They want this mediocre crap that you don't know from week to week. You used to be able to, in the 80s and 90s, okay, Giants are good, Cowboys are good, Buffalo was good. Niners were good. Washington
usually good. Niners were great.
So you had those teams that you knew going into a week. Like the big games now don't seem like the big games used to. They're manufactured to make us think they're big games, but you just very rarely see great games anymore that you'll be talking about 10 years from now.
I see your point. That said, Denver-Seattle was a really, really good football game. Will I remember it years from now? Well, no. As we talked about earlier in the podcast, we can't remember names anymore. We're just old. That could be part of it.
Oh, yeah, but it's there's not a team that we're gonna that's playing this year that we're going to say, oh, that was the team from the last 10 years. It's gone.
No, we'll see if Seattle bounces. I still think they have the most potential of anybody, at least for the next 2 years.
Too many changes. There's too many player changes now. There are five different players on defense. There's no way they're going to be the same defense.
Well, we'll see. I still think they're going to be a 13-3 team this year.
And offense, you look at their wideouts. When Marshawn Lynch slows down, they've got nothing. Yeah, he's scoring.
Turbin and Michael don't really set the world on fire, do they?
No, but he's the passing threat at the goal line now, too. Like, I don't know what. Baldwin, scare you? Is a wideout?
Oh, I dropped him off my fantasy team. First player I dropped this year.
Percy Harvin, yeah, he's a talent. But he's one hit away from being out for the year. Or a migraine away from being out. Offensively, they're not that talented outside of Marshawn Lynch. And when their defense isn't scoring points or turning the ball over and giving them a short field, I'm sorry, they're not a great offensive team. And I turned the corner a bit on Russell Wilson. He's good. But when Kansas City and Indy are putting up points on that Denver defense and you score 17 or 20 in four quarters, not a high-powered offense. And if they don't get home game, they're not repeating.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how they do against Arizona and San Francisco. Because that's their test. If they come out of those, if they win on the road in those games, okay, I might say they're going to be the team from this year. But they got smoked in San Diego. Smoked. That score was closer than it should have been. Like, they didn't really do fuck all.
Yeah, one drive at the end of the first half.
And if you want to take a look, you downplay the Chargers. Everybody, the AFC West has to play the NFC West this year. Well, San Diego lost by a point on the road in Arizona and beat Seattle.
It's a good start. What it's better start than from, I thought.
From what, from the schedule they've played this year, you'd have to put them up at the top with Cincinnati as the top two teams playing right now.
Yeah, and they're still flawed. We still don't have, well, it's the injuries, but yeah, no, but right now I would say we're one of the better teams in the league.
You are. I put you up, it's between you and Cincinnati right now, and Cincinnati hasn't really beat anybody great. Beat Atlanta, beat Tennessee, and beat Baltimore. Now, I'll say this, Baltimore is better than I thought they were going
to
be.
I was just going to say, I you know, I'm not ready to go all in on Baltimore yet, but Steve Smith was a huge pickup for them. He's become what Bolden was, and as you said, faster than Bolden ever was.
Yeah, he's not just a 10-yard slant guy anymore. Yeah. He can still beat you deep, which... And run a route where Torrey Smith was just run fast, straight line.
Well, Torrey
Smith can actually run a route.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, Baltimore's in there. Pittsburgh proved what they were. Like, this is like us in Fantasy, Boyd. It's like the one time we bet against Pittsburgh, they have their only good game of the season. Thus far.
Yeah, and look like the Steelers of old. So what's Carolina? Like,
I think Carolina, in all the adversity, came out and pulled together, and I think Carolina's pretty much done. They got nothing.
Well, you know, we joked the last few years, and everybody said it, why do they have all those running backs? Well, now they're all hurt. Can you believe that? We joked that they had, why are they paying all these guys at running back, and they have none.
Well, now. And that's happening to San Diego, too. It's like if you get one too many, the forces of nature balance your number of running backs by getting all of them hurt in a two-week period.
This is the best thing that could happen to the Chargers, though, Matthews getting hurt again, because they're not going to bring him back.
No. No, though I don't think Donald Brown is the answer, though he's a decent interim fit. Now we can draft a third or fourth round guy who has a little bit of vision.
And you probably
a little
have. There's probably one stashed on the.
Well, this rookie Oliver is undersized, but I can see him sticking on the squad. He certainly showed more than Donald Brown on Sunday.
So who's good right now? Oh, we should get back into that now that we're in week four. Maybe at the end of next week's podcast, we'll start doing our top five teams again.
Yeah, we're bumping up on an hour. So yeah.
No, we're not going to do that now. But
yeah, so at the start of
our week five recap, we'll do our top five.
Yeah.
And we'll carry that
every
forward.
Team will have played at least a quarter of their season in four games at that stage. And we will start announcing our top fives to close out the recap show.
That'll work. So, yeah, to answer your question, I don't know who the fuck's good. There's a couple of good teams playing right now. Do I honestly think Cincinnati and San Diego, out of those two, who I think, if you ask me right now, between those two, who could I see in the Super Bowl more? It's San Diego.
Really? I honestly go Cincy, just based and I'm on not Rivers. Just naysaying.
No.
Oh, Rivers is fucking...
Based on Rivers
God,
versus Dalton
good.
In big
he
game.
Is just... Fucking amazing.
Cincinnati's lost
that
two
said,
home
I think
games
Cincinnati's
in the playoffs.
Defense is considerably better than ours.
How can you say that?
We have
gave
no
up 17
pass rush.
To Arizona.
Our first two interceptions came against Jacksonville.
Doesn't matter. You're not giving up points. You didn't give up points to Seattle. You didn't give up points to Arizona, who has one of the best defenses in football. And you hung with them defensively. And Cincinnati, outside of AJ Green, what do they have at receiver? When they have to play, they haven't played anybody yet.
Well, Marvin Jones is supposed to be coming back.
Yeah, but we're crowning Cincinnati. They haven't played anybody.
No, I'm not crowning Cincinnati. I'm just saying I think Cincinnati's pretty good. You make a good argument, and do you know what? If Woodhead were healthy, I'd be really inclined to agree with you. I need a pass catching back. Isn't this fantasy football? Anyway. Can't we make Tennessee trade for McCluster? I'd take him.
Yeah, but they didn't, Marlon. They didn't use Woodhead anyway.
Well, we did last year, man.
Not this year, though. Before he got hurt, they weren't using him. I had him on my fantasy team. They weren't using him. So to say his injury is going to affect your, I don't see how. They didn't use him. Wisenhunt's gone. They didn't use him. Nah.
But
they didn't use him like they did last year.
Okay.
Like, so I still say San Diego's as good or better than Cincinnati.
I will grudgingly accept that the Chargers are.
They're Cincinnati's big win. They couldn't score in the red zone. They kicked six fucking field goals in that game, I believe, didn't they? 18 points against Baltimore? If you're going to win in the playoffs, you better score some fucking touchdowns.
Yeah, which San Diego's red zone's been a lot better this year. Though, I can't take too much out of the Jacksonville simply because they're terrible. They really are. And we won by the margin we should have won. But against most teams, Royal doesn't score those two TDs. There was plenty of opportunities to tackle him on both those plays.
Okay, but I'll say this. When you beat in the big games, you guys are winning or being very competitive.
True.
So you've played two of the best defenses in football and are 1-1. So Cincinnati's played Tennessee, Atlanta, and Baltimore.
Of which, and they did about the only one we really give credit to there is Baltimore.
Yeah.
A surprise and they didn't even to rack us, up. But I think you're correct. I think Baltimore's a lot better than we originally read them. Yeah, no, that's a solid point.
We'll see. They haven't really beaten anybody yet either.
No, it's Pittsburgh and...
So, and Cleveland and Carolina.
Yeah.
So... Who's good? There's no great teams yet this year that have come out from the bunch that are separate, and I don't think there is. When you look at an overall team, Seattle's still the most talented on both, like if you took both sides of the ball into consideration, and their defense is 70% of it. So there's nobody there yet, and maybe by week 8, week 9, we'll see it. It'll be a little clearer, but right now it's looking like the division winners are going to be 10-6, and 9-7 is going to get you a wild card. Just like last year. They've got exactly what they want. There'll be 8 teams playing that final weekend that have a shot at the playoffs if things fall their way. And that's what they want.
And they won't call it mediocrity, they'll call it parity.
Yeah, and we all know it's fucking mediocrity, so...
Okay, any other games or observations you wanted to bring up? We should probably wrap this thing.
No, there was nothing really. Just more arrests and suspensions today. And it was nice to see Indianapolis have two. I still hate them.
I loved seeing that Casey beat down in New England. And just before they pulled Brady on the last KC touchdown, I was screaming, go for two, go for two. By Belichick's own logic, anything can happen. We're not running up the score. Anything could happen. Fuck, I wanted them to go for two.
They're awful. Offensively, Brady looks bad.
I really watched the first half, and that's most of what I watched. He is so fucking, I won't say panic because he's Brady, but he has no faith in that O-line to give him 2.5 seconds of protection.
What would you?
He is firing that ball out like Phillip Rivers is at 1.5 seconds, but it's not designed for that. Like, I did not see a ball through the air that traveled more than 11 yards. And that was on outside side, and that was still like a 7-yard route, you know?
The only play that looked like old New England was the Brandon LaFell touchdown in the third quarter. That 10-yard slant that he broke a tackle and went for a touchdown.
Yeah, and that was sloppy tackling more than anything else.
Yeah, but it was that was a play they always ran. That was a Welker route that was designed to pick up the first down.
No,
it wasn't designed for a touchdown.
Yeah,
but that was what New England used to do.
I mean, I said it to you on our picks podcast last week. Maybe New England is just really bad.
Yeah, but then see, but that's what that's exactly why we had the discussion of who's good. You don't know. Next week they could put up 40.
The only time they've scored a lot of points was defense and special teams, man.
No, I know.
This
but
offense
I'm just saying,
is terrible.
But did you
when
think
Julian
Miami was
Edelman is your number one receiver by a large margin, you are in trouble.
But did you think
I would
they were
take Julian Edelman on my team, by the way, tomorrow?
Yeah, but did you think Miami was going to score 38 yesterday?
No, but...
Yeah, but that's the league. That's the league. They looked like shit against Kansas City. And Oakland almost beat New England, who New England might just be bad. Granted. But then there's no... You used to be able to correlate a little bit between teams that would play one another and how they fared. But there's none of that anymore. From week to week, you have no fucking idea. The quarterbacks aren't good enough anymore. They're all inconsistent. Outside of maybe Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck.
Well, Luck for the new guys, I would put...
He's head and shoulders above
anybody that's
coming
to the league. At least over the last 15 right now, Rivers looks better and better every time I see him. He just had AJ Smith as his general manager. He should
yeah,
have a
but
fucking
it's,
ring.
No, there's a cup, but do I trust Andy Dalton in a playoff game?
No.
No.
Do I trust Matthew Stafford? No.
Luck, who is there?
Luck is starting to look like the next dominant guy. Well, not even starting to look. I think he's already there.
Well, he's leading the league in touchdown
Flacco
passes.
Flacco is just mediocre.
Yeah, so who's...
Stafford
like,
is...
Cutler?
He's got all Rodgers? The potential in the fucking world. Rodgers is really good. Rodgers
is pretty
fucking
amazing. They scored
7 points
in Detroit. They scored 7 points in Detroit. Like, that's my point. All these guys...
Yeah, well, every quarterback had terrible games.
Who are we seeing that's... No, but you're looking at teams like the Eagles are 3-1.
Go back in Rodgers' last 20 games. Did he ever score 7 points before or after? You can't take the outlier and say that proves inconsistency because
this
he's
is
generally being wildly consistent.
Now, Marlon, the last home game before Detroit, they squeaked that one out. Who'd they play before Detroit? And they won. They lost to Seattle. Then the next game they played at home, and they struggled in that game and pulled it out at the end.
I still say, look at Aaron Rodgers' career stats, and they're as good or better than what Luck's been doing right now. So he's
point
in the conversation.
Is that they're all the games you don't know from week to week what you're going to get. Would it surprise me next week if Green Bay only scored 13 points? Not really. Not really. Fucking Giants look like shit for 2 weeks. Oh, let's go. Manning has 4 touchdown passes. He looked washed up 2 weeks ago.
Well, and you know what they used there. It was your takes a while to adjust to the system.
No, but it's you don't.
I know, Boyd. I'm just fucking.
You can't. Like, I know, Marlon, I know what you're saying, but you can't, you used to be able to go, okay, a team would play Green Bay. Detroit plays Green Bay, okay. Good defense. Well, we talked about this before the podcast. We don't know if Detroit's good. We talked about it in the podcast last week. If Detroit's defense was for real. Do you still think they're for real now?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm starting to think
I give them more credit.
I'm starting to think they're pretty good. Like, I'm not saying they're ridiculously dominant, but I think they're a good enough defense that the offense doesn't have to put up 38 anymore to get a win.
No, I agree. But did you expect them to hold Aaron Rodgers to 7?
Oh, fuck no.
Well, that's my point. It didn't surprise me that Rodgers put up 38 against the Bears. But it wasn't really a shock that he only put up 7. That's
it
where
was,
we are.
It was a shock to me that he only put up 7.
That's
because
where we are,
though. Look at his whole career. Look at all the games he's played. The 38 is a hell of a lot more likely than the 7. And so that's why I think you throw, you know, basic statistics.
Marlon.
You throw the best and the worst out before you start running your numbers.
No, I know, but do you remember back when Montana played? The only time he'd have a game generally that you would remember a shitty game would be against like a Giants team that or a Dallas that was one of the top teams in the league, not Detroit, who's wishy-washy. Who you don't know if their defense is in. It may prove out at the end of the year that they have one of the best defenses in football. But as of right now, these quarterbacks are going into games and you don't know what the fuck you're going to get. Philly was putting up 30 a game, had 127 yards offense. And this Niners defense is nothing like the last two seasons of Niners defense.
No, not at this stage. They might be by the second half of the season.
Yeah, but we have no idea. Cousins throws for 400 yards against the Eagles and throws 4 picks against the Giants, who looked like shit against Detroit. How do you make any sense of it? And the whole point of the extrapolating game to game, and you used to be able to judge, okay, this team's played that team. Okay, we got an idea. You don't. Tennessee smokes Kansas City. Kansas City almost beats Denver. Kansas City beats Miami. Miami beat New England. Oakland almost beat New England. Fucking Oakland gets smoked by Miami. Well, it just doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to when these teams play well, don't play well.
That applies to the last 15 years, though. I mean, it applies to the early 90s to the salary cap.
Going into
and
a
also,
year, though.
Like, let's face it, the science of this has gotten ridiculous. In the late 80s and that, there were tendencies, and I've even looked at the computer printouts. There was a whole bunch of basic data, but there were guys like Walsh, and there were guys like Parcells, who Buddy Ryan, who saw things on a different level that would not fly in this league because there's so much data analysis. I mean, I agree part of it is salary cap, part of it is the NFL-designed parity, but I also think that because there's so much money, that you will not see those screaming geniuses come out of the woodwork anymore because everyone gets all the information.
Right, I'm not disagreeing with that.
Everyone's got analytics now that, yeah, make everyone play on a muddy field, so to speak.
Yeah, but But back in the 80s and 90s, and granted, I know the salary cap plays a factor in this.
A huge factor.
But the good teams were the good, you knew the good teams.
Yeah, but they were also the teams like San Francisco, Giants, Washington, Dallas were absolutely unafraid to spend money because they saw the profit potential and they saw what being a great team was. This is what took Pittsburgh out of the equation from, you know, 85 to, you know, Cowher arriving, was they weren't spending the money. You know, they were dominant in the 70s because, well, they actually recruited black athletes. Crazy of them.
Well, no, I know, but it's,
you know, just but those variance, sorts of, the, those sorts
the variance
of,
week to week from teams, I just don't remember it being as wide top to bottom.
It wasn't, and I'm just offering a couple of theories other than the salary cap.
Yeah,
I think the salary cap's a huge part of it, but I think what I brought up is also a reason for this puddle in the middle shit.
But it's the variance from top to bottom just wasn't there. The good teams going into the year, there was all you knew there was three or four good teams. that we're going to be 12-4, 13-3, 14-2. And they played out that way. You didn't have this wild swing and variance where a team puts up 56 one week and then looks inept the next. It's just bizarre that you can't pinpoint at this point in the season who is the team. Like, I'm just thinking it would have been easier to bet in the day because the shit teams were the shit teams year in, year out.
Well, I read a great gambling story once. We should wrap this, but it was a guy who would take Larry Holmes at one pays or 100 pays one. And he would just do it every fight. And the sportsbook said, like, don't you think you're not getting value? And he's going, they should be 1,000-1 against these bums. And that's maybe what football gambling was like back in the day.
Yeah, the games that would be tough.
Do I lay 14 points on Niners versus Rams? You know, I'll quote Jerry Rice. Same old Niners, same old Rams. After they scorched them by another 35 points.
Yeah, but you didn't have a team like Green Bay score 7 against Detroit. And I'm saying, I'm clarifying this by saying Detroit's defense could prove to be good all year. But you never had this swing. Like, a Chargers team that's a team that's 3-1, you wouldn't be texting me going, oh, the fucking Chargers going to blow this fucking game.
No, I would. That's where we're at. Because the Chargers have destroyed me for 20 years.
No, but Marlon, this is what every fan's going through. They think their team's good, and then the next week, they look like they don't know how to play football. It's bizarro world right now.
Yeah. We should wrap this, though. We have run long.
All right. That's not what she said.
Speak all for right, yourself.
If you want to check out our podcast, it's on iTunes or Stitcher.com for your Android device. You can listen to it on our website, offensivelines.ca. Follow us on Twitter at Offensive Lines for any updates to the website or when new podcasts are available. Follow us on our personal Twitter accounts at O-Lines Marlin or at O-Lines Boyd, Facebook.com/Offensive Lines. And if you want to send us an email, it's offensivelines@shaw.ca. I'm Boyd.
I'm Marlin. And that was the Offensive Lines recap.
We'll try and do better next week.
Degenerate fucking gambler.